This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DPHRO and Rothenberg.
White circle shot. He scores. This puck is going to get deflected. That was Ian Cole. He beats Shesterkin for the game winner.
These innocuous shots that go through screens.
That's why you shoot the puck.
That's a nothing shot, but gets deflected by his own teammate.
It's a game of weird bounces. And it's happened to go in, so not the prettiest, but we'll take it.
That was your chance right there. Now you still need to win a game in Carolina. They're now 5-0 at home in the postseason.
We had a real good offensive chances and didn't capitalize on all of them, but I thought it was our best game of the year. I really did.
This is DPHRO and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, the big 6 o'clock hour. Time for a little Straight Talk brought to you by our good friends at Straight Talk Wireless. You know, something troubling about that soundbite. You just won 4 games against Pittsburgh, and the coach thought that was your best game of the postseason?
I mean, you don't. I mean, you saw they won those games. I mean, do you think that they played as well defensively against Pittsburgh as they did the first two periods?
No, I thought game two of the Penguin series, they were good.
Yeah, but as far as, I mean, I told you, going to the series, the reason why I picked Carolina, I did not think, now I know they defended better in, you know, after the, you know, post-trade deadline. I didn't think they could do what they did in the first two periods.
So you were blown away first two periods.
I thought they played great.
And now here we
missed a couple. I mean, listen, they had a couple chances to, I mean, I texted you guys that in the first period.
They could have been up 2-0, 3-0 first period, yes.
Yes. But you weren't, and you let them hang around. I mean, through the two periods, you let them hang around. It's only 1-0. And Carolina's a good team. You knew they were going to push back, and that's exactly what happened in the third period.
Ugh, very, very frustrating. So, a lot of frustration last night. Rangers lose. Scherzer injured, leaves the game in the sixth inning. Mets get a throttling victory over St. Louis, finish out that 4-game set this afternoon against the Cardinals. That, what's the forecast today? It's raining, but it's supposed to clear up by this afternoon, right?
I hope so. I don't like driving in the rain.
So are you back up to Bristol today?
Oh, yeah. Right back up.
Right back up. what time is the point today?
1.
So that's nice, though.
Oh, yeah. Hey, it's Rick DiPietro.
What happened there?
I told you. The voice gave out for a second. Hey, it's Rick DiPietro.
It didn't give it. It quit.
It quit. It said enough.
Yeah,
no mas.
It didn't give out. It was done.
On ESPN,
98.7. 98.8. So, Mets with a win. Good win. Yeah, the Yankees, it's almost, I know Yankees fans are going to freak out. It's almost boring. Like, all they do is win. Now, granted, they're beating a team that's not very good, but who cares? I mean, you are rolling along right now if you're the Yankees.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I wouldn't be upset if my team just is,
why would
boring.
I'm not saying you'd be upset. I'm just saying, like, my guy, like, every night you turn it on and somehow, some way, they find a way to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, yesterday another, I mean, and I think it speaks to what we've talked about a couple different times in the show is I know there was a level of frustration early on in the season because it felt like, you know, it was a repeat of what we saw the previous season, right? Like having trouble, you know, creating, you know, offense and everything else. And I think that was partly due to what happened during the offseason with some of the signings. But, I mean, this team is better defensively. The pitching staff has been great. And they, you can tell they're trying to incorporate different things into how they play, right? Like running the bases better, playing better defense. You know, occasionally, you know, they'll steal bases. Like they, like Gleyber Torres, was, again, last night, wild pitch, Gleyber Torres scores from second. That's a big run.
It was a huge run. So they needed that run.
Exactly right. So it's heads up. I mean, that's heads up baseball. That's good baseball. Gonzalez made a couple nice plays in right field. Like, I mean, that's, if Rizzo played a really good first base, like if you're going to consistently do those things and you got the kind of talent
and pitching
that this team has, I mean, look what Clay Holmes has done. I mean, Cole was good again. Then Clay Holmes comes in. Clay Holmes has 19 and two-thirds scoreless innings going on right now.
His ERA is .44.
That's silly.
But if you look at him, you look at King. I mean, these guys are, I mean, absolutely dominant. And Garrett Cole, who there was a premature, I don't trust him in a big game. Well, you might not trust him in a huge game, but in a regular season game, he's now back to the Garrett Cole that you appreciate so much.
Yeah, actually, I was looking at his last 5 starts. He's 4-0, has a 1.67 ERA. Struck out 39, only walked 5.
Yep, didn't walk anybody last night. That's winning baseball, too. The Yankees, 9 innings, 7 from Cole, 2 from Holmes, walked nobody last night.
Yeah, but this is, again, like, you don't want to give, I don't care how bad the team is. You don't, like, don't make it easy on them. Don't give them extra outs. Play good defense. Like, I thought Trevino made a great play. Right ball looks like it's going to go, Mateo thinks that ball's rolling foul, well, it was foul. And Trevino waits for it to come back fair, boom. You're out. Just heads up. It's good baseball, man.
They're playing good baseball. They, as we sit here right now, this is a good baseball team. Here is Aaron Boone on the club's red hot start.
A great start, no question. Great intentions from the guys each and every day, you know, about coming in and being ready and it being about going out and trying to get a win, and they've delivered. We also understand, you know, it's very early. You know, I keep saying that. We understand that. But the more we can pile up right now, you know, make it easier on us down the road.
Rick, it's very early, and that's true. You have an 8.5 game lead over Toronto.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean,
that's a big number.
Well, dude, I mean, I said it in the open. They've won 21 of their last 24 games. I mean, that's, like, what else do you want?
Nothing.
So, yeah, this is what every Yankees fan hoped this is what it would look like. Maybe not this good, but.
Nobody thought it could be this. Even the most optimistic Yankees fan didn't think that they could give you this.
Well, we all thought the bullpen would be great. Right?
I didn't think it would be this.
Well, I mean, this is. Yeah, this
is the best bullpen I've ever seen. Bullpens don't pitch like this.
Okay. Well, everyone thought it would be a strength.
Yes.
Okay. So starting pitching was actually pretty good last year. So, I mean, I think the real question mark was some of the moves that they made. What would they do? Like, how would this team look offensively? And I mean, can they stay healthy? And so far, so good. I mean, Judge is off to an unbelievable start. Stanton's been great, right? So, I mean, this is, again, I mean, everything right now is pointed in the right direction.
Sure is.
But I said this before, and I'll say it again. Like,
it feels like you play Baltimore every other series.
No, too. I know. You do kind of right now, but in the White Sox. But we said before the season started, that we both thought, now, you know, I thought Toronto would probably win the division. I might be wrong, but that the Yankees would be a playoff team, correct?
We both predicted the Yankees to go to the postseason,
okay.
Yes.
So, and that's when the true test for this team comes. Like, every Yankees
correct.
Fan expected them to be a postseason team.
Well,
and now it's how does this
right.
translate?
Everyone thought they'd get there. I don't think many people, if any, thought they would be this. But they're and this is the truth. They can win 114 games. It doesn't matter. They could win 89 games. It doesn't matter. What matters solely for this team is what they do when we get to October.
That's it. The expectation for this team is to get to the World Series. That's it. I mean, the Yankees fans are fed up. They want to get to, at the very least, get to the World Series and then see what happens.
So that's a lot of pressure on a club, though.
No, it is, but I actually was going to bring this up yesterday. I thought this was interesting because we were talking about, you know, the effect that Rizzo's had in that clubhouse and everything else. And they brought in, it seems like they have real, you know, really nice team chemistry. I was listening to the game, not yesterday's game, the game before that, and Tyone was talking to Susan, and he was saying, you know, how close the pitching staff is, and, you know, they're always talking to each other, and he actually made a point saying it's different than it was last year. So now, you know what I mean? Like, so now all of a sudden we're at a point where it seems like, you know, this team is, with the pieces that they have, that everyone's on the same page. There's great, you know, great chemistry in the clubhouse, which is important. I think you
very
can't understand
important.
How important that is, especially with
very
baseball
important.
when you're there every single day.
Yeah, there's no respite, right? There's no break. If you don't like these guys, that can be very, very difficult. Now, I said there's nothing to be upset about. I don't want this to be the rule that we complain about the Yankees, but there's two things I think you at least have to bring up. One is Gallo.
Yep. Another three strikeouts last night.
I mean, he strikes out every time he goes to the plate.
It's a problem. I mean, I don't know what you want me to tell you.
No, I'm bringing it up. And the other, and I don't think it's the same level of concern, but Chapman. Because other guys make you feel a lot more comfortable in that role right now than Chapman does.
Yeah, I'm not even concerned about that.
But I bring that up because Michael asked Aaron Boone yesterday And here's the answer. Were there any concerns right now over Chapman?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I do like that he's been on the attack more here these last couple of days. I think the biggest thing is just making sure that we continue to iron out that he's in a good place delivery-wise and the ability to use his fastball and to use his fastball with some level of command. And I think, you know, that's been at times, you know, struggling to find that real good command with the fastball. So he trusts some of the secondary pitches a little bit more, and he's getting into some counts where that's hurt him a little bit. You know, he's still getting the job done. I feel like he's done a better job the last couple of being aggressive with that fastball. But, you know, we want to keep getting him to a place where, you know, he's at his best. And I feel like he's kind of working through that right now.
Yeah, at least Boone was honest. He said there is a little bit of concern when it comes to Chapman.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not going to sit there and lie to Michael. The reason I'm not overly concerned about it is because I don't think there's, I mean, this is the last year for him.
Right. You don't have to baby him. If he's not good enough, you don't use him.
Well, because you're going to have to transition away from him anyway, right? So, like, I mean, if he gives you a reason to move off of him because you don't trust him, I mean, it gives you the chance now to, if it's Holmes or if it's Loaiza, whoever it ends up being. Because, you know, I mean, you're not bringing Chapman back after this year.
No. No way.
So you don't have to worry about it. You hurt his feelings.
This is not he's in the midst of a 9-year deal, and you have to make sure you baby him so you don't lose him in the future. If you lose him, you lose him.
Well, and you've seen that too, though. Like, if, I mean, the second it looks like he doesn't have control of that fastball, he's starting to get in trouble. There's someone up in the bullpen. Like, we're not worried about, oh, hey, you look back and you see someone warming up. How's that going to affect you? We don't
care
how it's
going to affect
you. Do
you think we get to October 1st and one run lead, ninth inning, he's your closer?
I feel like we always have this conversation, and it feels like he figures it out.
He always does, right?
Yeah, but I think maybe we're at the point.
Have guys that are this many guys that are this good.
Well, maybe listen. I'll say this though. Maybe we're at a point where it doesn't matter where we are in the lineup. It's just always going to be Chapman. Maybe it's okay. You know, we're at this point in the lineup, and we like the matchup that, you know, we like how, you know, Clay Holmes matches up with this part of the lineup better. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that, like, you know how with an ace, like with Scherzer or Cole or DeGrom, it's like, okay, you feel good, great. It doesn't matter if it's, you know, if it's right on left, if it's the third time through the order.
Yeah,
it doesn't
matter. You're our guy. Yeah, we don't have to look at the numbers when it comes to you.
Yeah, because that's just how good you are. Like, maybe we get to that point where it's like, okay, now we're going to actually start paying attention to that stuff because we don't 100% trust them.
Yep, maybe. And that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. They will not compromise. DPHR Rothenberg presented, as always, by Progressive Insurance. And feeling great, I almost said Mike. See what's happening here?
Yeah, I see exactly what's happening here.
Oh, my God. Well, because he's going to join us at 7:35.
No, I know.
But and he loved the Barbasol shaving cream.
I don't like this. Maybe this was a mistake, RJ, the suggestion I had.
RJ doesn't have his number yet.
I don't. You know what you're doing? You're essentially,
I opened the door.
You're calling Rick by your ex's name.
That's correct.
That's not good.
It's not good.
And this is the day after a huge game. It's a topic that Mike is very comfortable with. I'm concerned by what you might be doing here.
Yeah, this is a Thursday too. This isn't like one of our, you know, freaky Saturday nights where we role play. This is Thursday. You can't.
This is Rick's day.
Yeah, you don't have permission to.
Listen, I'm not proud of what I've done. Okay, I'm not defending my actions.
This does not sound like an apology.
This is you showing up at 4 a.m. just saying, you're shrugging your shoulders like,
yeah. This is me, baby.
Yeah, I don't like this, and this is all my own. This is my own doing, is what the problem is.
Yeah, you smell like.
I said, do you want to have money? You're like, yes, let's have him on.
Well, I didn't realize this was going to turn into him replacing me.
You're showing up at 4 a.m. smelling like Mike's cologne. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah, exactly right.
Like, he wears a very handsome cologne.
Like, he sprayed his pillow last night with Mike's cologne, is what he did.
Yeah, that's exactly true. It's a good point. I understand your concern now.
This is the problem with couples.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Because I'm ultimately so committed to you on the show.
Please tell me it's not find another horrendous did it happen in Florida story that hijacks the segment. Please tell me it wasn't that.
What time is Maniscalco on, RJ? 7:35? Yeah, I look forward to that.
Yeah, you probably have his Facebook up right now just staring at pictures of him right now.
No, I don't. I'm not creepy. He's a friend of mine. We put on good radio. No reason for you to feel away.
Well, you just called me Mike.
Well, because did you hear what you just did, though? In retort, you took shots at me. Stop with the sexy music.
How am I supposed to feel, though? I don't get it. Like, me and you were like,
I said I was sorry. It was a slip of the tongue.
Yeah, you and Sherry are cut up in bed, and all of a sudden you call her whoever your first girlfriend's name was.
Rachel.
Your first true love.
She wasn't a true love, but girlfriend.
Now, Maniscalco is like your first. I mean, you love working with him. He's like your first guy.
I did. I love working with him. Okay, but it doesn't mean I love you any less.
No, I know, but you don't think it would freak Sherry out?
If I said, oh, Rachel.
Oh, Rachel. Yeah, that would, she'd kick you right out of bed.
Probably so.
And if you didn't have Sherry, God knows, you took on the snooze button the other day, as if you could defeat the snooze.
I know, it was such a terrible decision. But I did it out of kindness.
Kindness, because you were exhausted.
No, but I did it. Yeah, you're right. But I'm always exhausted. Because I thought to myself, I can win this battle, and if I turn the snooze off now, in 8 minutes from now, it won't wake up my wife, and that was a kind thing to do. And then at 5:46, I get a, don't you have to be up for the show? No, 4:46, don't you have to be up for the show? And I was like, oh, God. I was like, she's going to tell me it's like 5:17. I was like, what time is it? 4:46. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, you would have seen if it was 5:15, 5:16. Just Rome would be burning.
I could only imagine.
The whole show would be burning.
I am hot. You know what we should do one day? You know, like they do those experiments on rats. One day, just like I'll be there, but I you'll tell Rick I'm not available until like 5:30 that morning, just so we can see what happens when we put the cheese in front of him.
I know what will happen. He'll turn his Comrex off and leave.
I'll throw it right out the window.
Good Thursday morning.
He'll say he got robbed, and he'll throw his technology literally out the window.
I'll actually make it seem like I'm being robbed.
On ESPN, 98.7.
Can you imagine that?
That'd be good radio.
Yeah, as the open is starting, I'd be like,
Rick
DiPietro
here with you, 98.7. How did you find me?
Please, no. Don't take my complex,
no, please. No, leave my wife alone. Oh, my God.
No, I need that car. No, take my wife. Don't take the car.
Don't touch the Comrex, sir. Take the car. I have a beautiful truck. He's taking the Comrex. I'm sorry, I'm out.
Yeah, I couldn't do it.
So I don't know how to use this story. Now, here's my concern. My concern is RJ will use the story in today's observations. Do I try to beat him to the story?
No. Why didn't you ask RJ during the break whether or not he had the story?
This is how well I know you. I know what the story is. We haven't even talked about this. It's Nick Saban, isn't it?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, I know you so well. Well, clearly you don't, pal.
Maybe Mike does.
Of course Mike would know.
Let's get his producer, too. You can just replace all of us. We know that's what you're really asking.
He doesn't do radio anymore.
No, you can get the whole gang back together. Who was your old producer?
Oh, he was excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, excellent.
Yeah, Billy.
It wasn't Billy. Adam.
Close enough.
Adam was
Let's see what he's doing.
We used to have an update anchor on the show.
Let's see what they're doing, too.
And he would get so nervous doing the updates that he would start shaking during the update.
I have TJ. I have Nico.
Oh, you guys are such babies.
What happened to TJ? Did you have to let them go? I haven't seen the
We're on hiatus.
Were there allegations?
More. Use it. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, were there allegations after that?
No. We're on high. Welcome aboard. I prefer not to talk about it anymore.
After that creepy spider attack segment.
Really work with that spider attack. Really become familiar.
Do you know how many views on TikTok that received?
Yeah, that's because it sounded very Buffalo Billish of you.
Well, what Buffalo Bill? It received almost 6 million views on TikTok.
That's nice,
right? That's a big number. So I could use the story in observations. I could use the story tomorrow for the morning roast. Like it's an evergreen story.
Well, why don't you run it by RJ during the break? And if he has it, then don't use it. If he doesn't, then you get to decide.
Okay.
Adventure.
I like that. I think it's a good point. Although, RJ, I know what it is. It's going to be the Nick Saban story. No, RJ, you don't know me that well yet.
I guess not.
You're not the Mike Maniscalco. Clearly,
because he thought he was going to Game 7 and then right home or to the studio to sleep, and all of a sudden you went on a pizza tour / let's find the nearest strip club.
Where do you get naked ladies in this scenario?
We'll see naked ladies.
I didn't say anything about that.
RJ, what was the next step from the pizza?
So you think it goes pizza to naked ladies?
I felt like you were trying to get your carbon up.
There's not like a scotch involved there?
No. I think you were carbon up, and that's where you're headed.
Outside of referring people to the ESPN New York app, the only other thing you were saying to people was, to find the nearest establishment.
Pizza parlor to the strip club.
With the app.
Straight shot.
With the app. Bubbles, have you heard? Listen to this. Have you downloaded the app?
Hey, DJ, after we get done with Pour Some Sugar on Me, why don't you throw the ESPN app on?
Yeah. Brandy, listen. Just one button.
All of a sudden, the app is playing through the speakers.
That's right.
Oh, Mr. Rothenberg, nice to see you back. Welcome to the Champagne Room. What would you like for music?
As we welcome back to the stage, Candy.
Now on the main stage, the ESPN New York app.
And all of a sudden, Larry Hardesty pops up.
Yes. With Gordon Damer.
Ruby, ask me where Barry Sanders went to college.
Yes. Slide over to the left a little bit. Thurman Thomas, Oklahoma State. Teddy and Lindenhurst. Good morning, Ted.
Fellas, how's it going this morning?
You sound very serious.
I'm great. Dave is in a very bad mood today.
Very bad mood.
All right. Well, I'm in a good mood because the Yankees are playing really good. But I feel like we need to sustain our happiness right now because we're playing really bad teams right now.
Yeah, but who cares?
This next month, we're doing what we have to do, but I just feel like we're setting up for the Mets last year. You know what I mean?
No.
The Mets won 77 games last year.
You are out of your mind.
For right now, because in June we have the Angels, we have the Astros, we got the Twins. We have really tough teams coming up, and this whole hot start can go away just like that.
No, it actually can't. You're 20 plus games over 500. Even if you have a dip, even if you have a run of 10 games where you go like 3-7, you're not going to fall out of this thing.
No, you're 19 games over 500 right now.
You have put yourself in a position where you almost can't collapse now.
Well, listen, you never know with injuries and everything else, but I mean, they're playing good baseball. They have really good pitching. Their bullpen is elite. So, yeah, I mean, they play good defense. They have all the tools. Things started to go sideways with the Mets last year. I mean, when DeGrom all of a sudden got hurt and couldn't pitch, things went a little sideways.
The whole thing crumbled. And plus, you had no Rothenberg. Presented by Progressive Insurance. God, you want to interrupt me? Have at it.
Well, no, you interrupted me, actually. And the other thing, too, is, obviously the clubhouse was a mess, too, so that played into it. You didn't have a great, it's not like you had a veteran manager to steady the ship. I mean, he's talking about private rooms with Dopplers and screens and everything else.
Yeah, and now you have, like we've said a million times, an adult in the room.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
A little conversation during the commercial portion of the show, and he does have that story in observations. So because I am the guy I am, I will leave it for him, and he can use it in observations.
I think we should also point out what a professional RJ Santillo is.
How so?
Well, that he's got every base covered. He's got every story.
Well, in fairness
real
to
work to it,
in fairness to RJ, who does a wonderful job, it was brought to his attention by Ray J. Santiago, and then by me. So he didn't have it on his own. He was helped to have the story.
Okay, yeah, but this is a team effort. So Santiago and RJ helped produce the show, so they work together to make sure the segment is great. I mean, this is all you ask for.
We are a team.
Team environment.
We are, in fact, a team. All right, so I do have something I can contribute to in observations, though.
It has to be better than what you did with the DHIF.
You better cut it out.
I mean, that story was caca poo poo.
It was a great story.
Like a Discovery Plus segment.
Here's what it is. You're a simple man.
Pawn Stars.
You're a simple man, and not a worldly guy. And this story was like Sistine Chapel.
You've been out of the country, and I'm not.
I've been out of the country.
Where?
Canada.
That's it.
Aruba.
Where else?
The Grand Caymans.
Have you been to Italy?
No.
You been to Paris?
No, but I've been to Paris and Las Vegas. they have the replica of the Eiffel Tower. I've been there.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
Yeah. So you know what? Just because you have endless amounts of money, that you're a country club guy and you can go gallivanting all over the world, don't take it out on me. It
has nothing to do with money.
You know, you went to Italy for the Olympics. Yep. You went to Germany to play professional hockey.
Correct.
So, you know, you're doing these for work.
Yeah, so I'm a world traveler is what I'm saying.
I didn't say you weren't a world traveler. I said you're not deep. There's no depth to you. I bring up a story like I did of someone finding a Greek masterpiece at a
priceless artifact.
Yes. And now all of a sudden it's too much for you to handle.
I'm just saying what I read. RJ thought it was weak. Santi thought it was weak. And then
RJ didn't think
spoke.
It was a weak story.
RJ did not think that was a DHIF story.
RJ, good story, bad story?
Decent story, not DHIF story.
No, yeah, RJ had a guy driving a car on the highway with his feet hanging out of a sunroof. And you come out of nowhere with the priceless Roman artifact found at
a priceless Roman artifact.
You know who would have loved the story?
Mike would appreciate it.
If the person went to the hospital with a priceless Roman artifact inside them or something like, then that's more DHIF.
Oh my goodness.
That's more DHIF, let's be honest.
It was more of an offbeat story, less DHIF. Yeah, you're right.
You're right. I mean, you didn't have two thoughts about it until he just did that. Yeah, you're right.
I gave my thoughts that day. I don't need to say anything more.
You know what? I can't wait for Mike. 7:35, my old co-host going to join us here on the show. He's now the voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. He's another one, by the way. Right? I do the show with him. He's now the voice of the Canes on television.
Aww. And he simulcast the radio. Yeah, he's a big star.
He's a big star. Let's go to George in Baltimore. Good morning, George. You're on 98.7.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick. Great show. Yeah, you know, I just want to bring up two quick points, one Yankee point and one Ranger point. On the Yankees, you know, I know what Joey Gallo is, and I don't expect him to be anything that what he is. And I'm kind of looking towards playoffs. You know, I'm not – you may think, well, George, you're counting your chickens before they hatch, but they're off to a great start. I mean, they should make it, right?
George, yeah, you're not counting your chickens. They're going to make it.
Yeah. And, you know, Dave, the thing I'm looking at is, do I want Joey Gallo up in the playoffs? You know what I'm saying? Do I want him out there? And I'm looking at Kansas City, and I'm seeing a guy who's going to be a free agent after this season, who the Yankees, with some prospects, may be able to get, Andrew Benintendi, who would be a perfect fit for the Yankees. He hits for average, got some power, you know, good RBI guy, playoff, he won a World Series with the Red Sox, you know, a lefty batter. I just think he would just fit perfectly if Cash could make a deal like that. You know, I'm pretty sure he's going to make some deals. And another thing I'd like to see the Yankees not do is keep Aaron Hicks when he's in there in that ninth spot. I like him hitting out of that ninth spot better than I do at leadoff. And just switching real quick to the Rangers last night. I know you bleed and die range. So do I, Dave. I get like you when the Rangers lose, okay? I go start yelling. get it silent.
I had trouble sleeping last night, George.
I'm like, that's how I am. That's how I am. I just can't get it. But it was heartbreaking because Shesterkin played such a great game, such a great game. And I thought the Rangers as a whole, for the majority of the game, played a great game. Yes, they did in the last 10 minutes. You know, here comes the rush by Carolina, you know, and they did kind of back up a bit and, you know, and they got a little too conservative there. But you know, and then in the overtime, Lindgren goes off his stick, and you know it's just a heartbreaker. You know, but I thought they played a very good. That was about one of the better games we've seen them play. Well, you know, unfortunately, that they lost.
Georgia, thanks for the call. You're a good caller. We appreciate you. They played a great Rick. I thought a great 40 minutes, and they played a on your heels 20 minutes, and when they allowed that goal, you kind of had that feeling they weren't going to win the game.
Yeah, I mean that's devastating, especially with, you know, what happened earlier with the Kako missing the wide open net. I mean that's tough. That's what happens when you let a team like Carolina hang around. That's a really good team, especially at home, especially in the third period. So I get it. People are frustrated. You know, why did the Rangers change the style they were playing and everything? You know, some of that's, I mean, you have to give Carolina some credit too. That they came out, you knew they were going to come out with a hard, you know, hard in the first 5-10 minutes,
and they did.
It's exactly what they did,
and they're a good team. And you're right. And that's what's so, you know, if they were a lousy team, you might say, well, you lost that game, but you're fine because they're not very good. They are very good.
Yeah, very good.
They are very, very good.
And as far as Igor is concerned, I mean, he didn't ask Igor to do much in the first two periods.
He was excellent in the third period. I thought
excellent in the third period.
But you're right. How many shots? What do they have? Like 15 shots in the first two periods combined?
Yeah, I think the score, not even that, like the scoring chances, I think through two periods, Carolina had.
Not a lot.
No, I think they had, I want to say, six scoring chances in the first two periods, and then they had, I want to say, five in the first 10 minutes of that. That third period.
What was the, do we know, what was the Lindgren issue last night?
Probably more of the same as what he was dealing with in the first
Whatever he has, he's still got it.
Yes. Canes had six scoring chances in the first two periods, five in the first 10 minutes of the third period.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a completely different team.
Well, they made some changes, too, which is a test.
Well, they changed up the lines, which they don't like to do.
Yeah, they don't. So they wanted to get Aho going. I mean, you had Teravainen, and he moved lines. And, I mean, Shesterkin made a great, early in that period, too, made a great save on Teravainen. So. But you got to expect that to happen, man. I don't know why people are surprised all of a sudden that Carolina showed some fight.
I don't think people are surprised. I think people are upset and disappointed because you look at that game and the Rangers. Listen, I'm sorry. The Rangers should have won that game.
It was a missed opportunity. That's
right.
Correct.
So if you have an opportunity where you should win and you don't and you could have taken home ice, people feel a way about it. I don't think anybody's surprised that Carolina came out in the third period and played well. I think they're angry / disappointed because you had an opportunity and it slipped away.
Yeah, but you can't just, I guess my point is you can't just look at the third period as the reason as to why you lost the game.
No.
Like there were plenty of chances in the first period to make it a two-goal lead.
Made it a two or three-goal lead.
And then you had a chance, you know, with a wide open net to make it 2-0.
I can't believe he missed that.
No, I don't think he can believe. He probably, I mean, I don't know how he would sleep last night. Like, I don't. Because I as good as I think Carolina is, I mean, 6:45 left in the third period, you make it 2-0. It's a whole different ballgame.
Whole different ball of wax. Yeah, it's a shame. It really is. All right, 1-800-919-3776. I don't want to be the guy that stands in the way of a nice lengthy observations. And did it happen in Florida? So let's begin.
If you say something like this.
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this.
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are Knobservations.
Yes, and they are brought to you by Jackpocket. So, since Dave was such a nice guy, and Raymond, who's a tremendous individual as well, both recommended this story, we will start with it. So, the Yankees let go of a prospect last week. Probably was not on your radar whatsoever. So, let me introduce you to a man named Jake Sanford. Last Thursday, a week ago, he was cut, a former third-round pick in 2019, Why, you may wonder? You probably think, oh, he wasn't playing well, or, you know, just ran out of space on the team. Not the case. He was stealing from his teammates and scamming people for money. He was taking equipment, basically anything that wasn't nailed down. There are rumors, I should say allegedly, that this is perhaps tied to some sort of gambling debt. He was drafted in 2019 and had a signing bonus of a little under $600,000. Once you dive down the rabbit hole, and you guys might remember this, you might remember this is not the first time the Yankees have had to deal with this sort of thing. You remember Ruben Rivera?
Of course.
So, for those that don't, 2002, he stole Derek Jeter's glove and his bat and tried to sell those as well. But I guess this we will take this moment to remember the end of Jake Sanford's Yankee minor league career.
Yeah, I think he was picked up. I think I saw last night on Twitter, he was picked up by like some Montreal baseball team.
And he's going to steal their stuff.
RJ, Dave's going to do the story in DHIF. He actually found a rare artifact at a yard sale.
You know who wouldn't make that joke is Mike Maniscalco.
No, Mike's better than that. He has respect for people he works with.
In all seriousness, do you think that guy's in trouble? Like, he probably had a decent signing bonus as a third-round pick.
Right? If you were listening at all, he just had a $600,000 signing bonus.
Right, so
I mean, if you were listening at all. So make fun of me because I bring up a story which is worldwide.
My question,
This guy's saying, you know, he probably had a decent signing bonus. You mean the same one that RJ mentioned 45 seconds ago?
Yes, the one RJ mentioned, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, you're the expert in gambling, so I'm asking if the guy might have had a little bit of a problem. Maybe he owed some people money.
Oh, my God.
And here it is, Dave lashing out.
Lashing out. The guy's asking all the questions that were just established in the story. RJ just said. He just said, and rumor has it that he had a gambling problem. And Ray's like, you think maybe he had a gambling problem? Maybe.
That's okay. I love it.
I'm still upset that I can't get down the rabbit hole like RJ. I mean, he's really the only one that can make that possible at his size. That wasn't nice. Continue. That wasn't nice.
See, at least I'm proud of that. You realize it in the moment now.
That wasn't nice.
Oh, great. What growth you've shown. Now you destroy people, but you realize that you're destroying them in the moment.
I sent the nasty tweet yesterday to the K Show, and I didn't think Michael would read it, and he read it. And
you sent a tweet and sent a tweet?
A text. And he read it, and I was like, oh, God.
What, nasty to them?
No, to Peter.
What a surprise, because he would never take a shot at Michael. What did you say?
Well, no, he was talking about, because Michael, like, talking about he's going to... Peter's headed down to, I think, to Maryland. Where's he from? He's from Maryland, right?
Correct.
Washington?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's got his best friend's, you know, child's bar mitzvah. So Kay was like, well, you can't have, how many best friends can you have? Like, you can only have so many best friends.
It's a very valid point.
Yeah, talking about, well, you know, who's your best man? And he said his brother. So how did that affect the best friend? And I may have texted him, don't worry, Peter will have plenty of weddings to accommodate all his best friends.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's nasty.
That is rough.
Wow.
That's terrible. Funny, when I texted it, when he read it, I was like, oh, that might have not been great.
All right, RJ, go. Wow. You're mean.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's not great.
Right. No, that crosses a line.
That's savagery is what that was.
Yeah, we move on.
Well, I mean, I thought you were going to make fun of, well, he's not going to get another, you know, gift for a kid's bar mitzvah, but to go there, jeez.
So Dave very passively aggressively piles on, but, you know, we still move on regardless. Yeah. So this is what I thought you might have been talking about, Dave. Nick Saban's not happy with NIL. NIL in college football right now is, I don't know, how many people have been following it? We'll hear more in the coming months as college football heats back up. It is wild right now. There are kids signing for seven-figure deals. He singled out Jimbo Fisher of Texas A&M, who had a great recruiting class, I believe number one.
Correct.
and said they bought all their players.
I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, and likeness. All right, we didn't buy one player, all right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it.
And by more and more, he means perhaps Deion Sanders. He took a shot at his school. Also, Deion Sanders responded saying he would address that, quote, lie at some point today.
That's his guy, though. They do commercials together.
Yeah.
What is he doing?
You're going to tell me they're not doing the same, though?
Well, he's not doing the same.
Of course. But I mean, didn't he say that his team got up to, like, combined like $3 million?
Yeah.
NIL.
Well, they're saying, because USC, too, is just cleaning up in the transfer portal, that they're just peeling off deals in the LA market, two for kids, like left and right. But I mean, these are the rules now, right?
Well, what did you expect to have happen?
Yeah, exactly.
With the amount of money that the boosters have with these teams and the businesses that they own.
These
are
the rules.
I love the fact that Saban is turning his nose down at what other schools are doing.
So Saban, what the moral of the story is, Saban, you got to pony up more, buddy. More money for these kids. You want these
kids, what you're doing, though,
you don't think the Alabama boosters can get more money for them?
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
They got to up their salary cap.
Yeah, but you're building excuses, too, which is, I mean, so why didn't you have the best recruiting class? Why we're not paying everybody?
You're still number two, also.
I know.
Shaq was on Instagram. He wasn't very nice to Kevin Durant. He had a caption of KD, and it said, KD's accomplishments since he left Steph, meaning when he left the Warriors. The numbers 1, 2, and 3, all of them blank.
It's not very nice. Speaking of Kevin Durant, did you see Kevin Durant with David Letterman?
No. Where was it, like a talk show Letterman has online or something?
Yeah, I don't know what it was on, but I saw it, and they were talking about the benefits of marijuana, and David Letterman goes, did you smoke weed today? And Kevin Durant goes, I'm high right now.
I respect the honesty.
That's good.
Today.
Yeah, I'm actually
right before
now.
This interview.
Another story from Raymond Santiago. Are you familiar what's going on with the Coyotes of the hockey variety?
Oh, huh? Yeah. Yeah, I'm paying I get to pay the escrow.
So they're awesome. they're playing in Arizona State for 3 years. There's a fourth year option built into the contract.
It's 5,000 people too, so people know.
5,000
people. You really pack them in there, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably fitting for how many people go to the games. But still, the agreement confirms that the Coyotes will pay rent annually. And one of the clauses in the contract says that the Coyotes are not allowed to modify the look of the ice surface. That may not sound like much, until you realize they will play all of their home games, 41 of them, in fact, with the Arizona State logo. At center ice in a 5,000 person arena. This is a professional team.
Very intimate. What is that? Is it the pitchfork?
Is it though, RJ?
Yep, the Sun Devils with a pitchfork at center ice.
Nice.
Is it professional?
we've had
conversations about this team since I was doing the CBA negotiations when we had one of the lockouts.
How does this team stay in business?
Well, because it's one of Gary's things, bringing hockey to Arizona.
It's working beautifully.
Oh, it's terrific. It's just, you know what's great, too, is when you see how much money it's costing you in escrow. Because teams like that can't generate revenue.
Is it all about the Southwest? Because you could probably find another city that would be more welcoming, you know?
Oh, listen. No, I mean, it's Arizona. It's Florida. It's like his big thing. Like, he brought hockey to all these places.
I'm sure Houston could do with a hockey team.
Houston's we played in Houston. I think it was in the, I think it was, might have been the IHL, but that was a good spot. Dave, you would love that area—a little five-star steak restaurant with a little.
Oh, I sure would. You know what I'm really concerned about right now. RJ, he's got no time, and he didn't even start his final segment.
All right, here we go.
Yeah. His naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, so no one naked, but troubling story. Police arrested a man that broke into a home. You might think they get there right as the action is happening, right? Nope. Man was asleep on the couch. So the woman that lives there woke up, came downstairs, found a strange man sleeping on her couch, woke him up as safely as she could. And when she asked the man what he was doing, he said, "I'm sorry. I was robbing you. I fell asleep," and then he left. But he did
robbing you.
He did not return the wallet, driver's license, credit, or debit cards that he took. Pretty much admitted he had. Did not give them back. He was nice enough to apologize for her having to see the matter, but he left.
Wow. why would he say I was robbing you?
He was startled. He woke up. He didn't know.
I'm going to say not Florida, but have very little conviction in this one. So don't follow my lead.
Wow.
I'm not saying don't follow it. Don't follow it. Just like if you have a gut feel, go with that.
This is a tough one. So, Archie, why were, like, he admitted, okay, I'm robbing the house, but I'm not going to, the stuff I already stole, the woman wasn't like, hey, can we get that back?
Just, no, she did, but he refused. You got to separate church and state here. Apologized for sleeping on the couch, did not apologize for the robbery, and in fact, continued with it.
I'm going to go Florida.
Wow, the first time you guys have differentiated.
I'm going to go Florida.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I think Florida.
And Raymond.
Maybe I'm using stereotypes here. But I do have conviction, and I feel that it's not Florida, because if it were Florida, that guy probably would have been shot.
RJ, let me ask you a question there for Raymond. Do you think that he actually stole the wallet? RJ, do you think he actually walked out with the wallet, or no?
He did.
Okay, that was a question from Raymond.
Okay, just being sure.
Yeah.
Well, Rick, you're on an island on your own.
Wow.
That is the island of winners.
Yes.
Sarasota, Florida is where it happened.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.